Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Wealth Protector TV. This is a special edition. Really excited to have our founder, Barth Calderon, Harry Barth, with us. Welcome, Harry.
It's good to be here, Paul.
Yeah, we're going to jump right into this and talk about a well-received asset protection and estate planning tool. Harry, I'm going to let you jump right in.
Sure. Thank you, everybody. So what I'm going to try to do in all of our, we'll call it, Wealth Protector Asset Protection Toolbox sessions that we'll be having is to pick a subject and let's discuss it in great depth. Today, you know, I want to talk to you a little bit about what may sound complicated, a sale to an intentionally defective grantor trust. And let me set the stage of its usefulness. We're in an environment where we may be having decreasing estate tax exemptions. And we have a business that's successful, or we have stock, and these things are going to grow. And so all the growth that we have we live a long life, 20 years, 30 years, all of that growth and the appreciation is going to be subject to transfer taxes when we die. And those transfer taxes could be anywhere from 40 to 50%. So what we're going to talk about today is a technique which basically turns a growth-oriented business or stock or equity scenario into pretty much nothing more than a flat rate bond in our estate that's not going to appreciate. So let's talk a little bit. So how we go about doing this and the technicalities that are associated with it. So one of the things that we want to do is we want to create a trust, Paul. This trust, when they say defective trust, let's just say what it means. It means it's an effective trust for transferring assets to the next generation for gift and estate tax purposes. It's an effective transfer. But due to some, we'll call it anomalies in the law, we are able to construct that trust in such a way that for income tax purposes, it stays with the original grantor or creator of the trust. So it's kind of bifurcated.
Is it effective, irrevocable or revocable?
It's irrevocable.
Okay.
It allows an estate and gift tax transfer, but keeps the income tax with the original creator of the trust, which opens up a tremendous amount of opportunity. So what happens is we have, let's say we have a business, and let's say that business is worth $4 million or $5 million. And that business may be worth $15 million at the time of our death as it continues to grow. And that additional $5 million or that $10 million alone will generate a $4 million tax to transfer to the children. So what we do in a sale to an intentionally defective grantor trust is first we examine the asset that we are going to sell to this trust. And in examining the asset, we want to make sure it's an appropriate asset, that it can be transferred to the trust, that it has the correct type of attributes.
What can't go into it?
Well,
it's
just a question of analyzing each asset along the way. So for example, highly appreciating real estate might not be the best asset, depending upon whether or not that transfer would be considered a transfer for property tax reappraisal. So that sale, property tax reappraisal. So there's an example of an asset that, unless the property tax basis is high enough, the increase in property tax might not be the best of all. But let's just use a business. Business is great. And so let's say the business is worth $4 or $5 million today. So we're looking at that business. And let's even say it's an S corporation. And so one of the things we might want to do is we might want to look at that, make the business into the best shape that it can be in order for the sale to the trust. We're going to sell it to the trust. And I'll talk about the characteristics of the trust in a minute. So look at that business. So maybe I recapitalize that business into voting and non-voting shares. So I have $4 million. I have $4 million worth of business. I have voting and non-voting shares. And I'm going to sell the non-voting shares to the trust. Now, interesting, in doing that analysis of making it voting and non-voting, so I probably could get an appraisal for the non-voting shares discounted as to the fair market value of non-voting in this year. So I have a discount. So maybe I have a business that's worth $4 million, but the non-voting share component might be $2.5 million. So
it's a big discount. I mean, it's substantial.
It could be a pretty good size discount in looking at the business and making sure that that business is now maybe in this particular, we don't do this every single time, but if this case you want to get some discounts, we might do voting and non-voting shares. And then let's say the non-voting shares, we have to have them valued. Let's say they're valued at $2.5 million. So now I'm going to sell them to this trust. So in this trust, I am not the owner. I am not the trustee. I can be the trustee. It's not favorable to do it, but I'm not the trustee. And we arranged to have a sale of those shares to the trust, which is kind of cool. And in order for the sale to be legitimate, we need to make a gift to that trust at least equal to 10% of the value of the asset that we're going to sell to it. So as we just determined, we now have this $4 million asset, which is now $2.5 million because of the way we constructed that asset. And so if I'm going to sell a $2.5 million asset to the trust, I have to make a gift to the trust of 10% of that, $250,000.
So which I make would be a tax-free gift?
It's just a gift. It's just a gift to the trust. It's a tax-free gift. So I put $250,000 into the trust. Now the trustee will enter into a transaction with me where they will buy that $2.5 million worth of stock from me basically for a promissory note. So I get a promissory note for about, call it $2.5 million. And so now in my estate, I have a $2.5 million promissory note, and all of the economic or 90% of the economic value is now sitting in the trust. So as that $2.5 million grows to $3 million, $4 million, $5 million, $6 million, $7 million, $8 million, $9 million, we had one that was sold for $7 million that grew to $100 million.
Wow.
That entire growth is now in the hands of the second generation and out of my estate. And what's in my estate is a promissory note. And promissory note is not going to appreciate in value.
Right.
And so I've locked in that value at $2.5 million, and I can set that promissory note rate at least the minimum long-term federal AFR rate, which is today about 2.5%, maybe 3%, very low interest rates today, and pay interest only. The trust could pay interest only on that promissory note for now. So I froze the value in my estate and had all the growth of my future business, which we're anticipating to be a significant growth, in the hands of my children and or my grandchildren.
Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely quite incredible. And it does a few other things for us as well. So one of the things to understand when we do that is this, because it's a grantor trust, and we have to construct the trust in such a way that the tax attributes of the trust, the income tax attributes of the trust, remain with me. All right. So mm-hmm. I pay the taxes. Now the trust can give me some money, you know, in interest or help me pay the taxes. But what happens there is that the sale of my asset to the trust is not a taxable event. And the interest that I receive on the promissory note is not taxable income to me. Wow. So there is no income tax ramifications in this transaction, but I am moved the $2.5 million asset, which may be worth $10 million, to the next generation.
And Harry, does any business qualify?
Pretty much we can take limited partnerships, limited liability companies, C corporations, S corporations, and construct them in such a way that they'd be eligible to be sold, or a portion of it, some of it, all of it, voting, non-voting to the grantor trust. As long as we follow all the appropriate procedures that I just mentioned. And it also gives us another leg of flexibility. If we think that we need to have more income, we can recast the promissory note to a higher interest rate. If we need to extend the period of time, we can do so. And the other thing too that it allows us to do, which I think is amazing today, when the government, as we know over the last couple of years, has been in a bit of state of flux, right, as to whether, you know, what the estate tax exemptions are going to be, whether or not grantor trusts are still going to be allowed. So we at any time can always forgive that promissory note, which would make an additional gift to the trust. So if the trust is holding, I'm holding a $2.5 million promissory note and I forgive it, all right, that just is an additional $2.5 million gift to the trust. Okay. And also, when I pay the income tax for the trust, that's not considered a gift as well. So it's a very, very, very highly flexible tool that in the right set of circumstances provides quite an amazing result for family.
And Harry, when you say it's well-received, because that was my intro, you and I were talking about that, well-received by the IRS,
it's kind of the sales to intentionally defective grantor trust are pretty much ingrained in the law and are not unto themselves questionable transactions.
But
the Treasury Department and Congress do feel that in some respects that they're not fair, because it allows higher net worth individuals to take highly appreciating assets and move that appreciation into the next generation and level out or freeze the values at what they are today, which is a very, very, very significant, like in the example I showed you, if that $2.5 million grows to $10 million and the estate tax is 40%, that's a $4 million tax savings,
right,
by using that. And maybe there's even a further benefit in that in my estate is the promissory note, but I have a promissory note that may not be due for 20 years, a balloon payment due in 20 years at a relatively low interest rate. If interest rates rise as we anticipate them to be, and I have a 20-year note, I would imagine in my estate, I'd be able to discount the value of that note as well. So not only would I freeze the value at what it is today, I'd probably get a discount on the note as well as a discount on the sale over to the trust. So steps one, right, is to identify if this is an appropriate strategy for them. They have those types of assets that would work out well in a sale to an intentionally defective grantor trust. Two, and in identifying that asset, making sure that asset is formulated into a way that it's in the best position for sale. Three, formulate an appropriate trust, making sure that we secure grantor status for that trust. So it's out of the estate, but still in the grantor's estate for income tax purposes. And then executing an appropriate and proper transaction by making sure we've gifted at least 10% to the trust of the value of the asset that we're going to sell, with an effective promissory note at the minimum government applicable federal rates. This builds tremendous flexibility. It also, the assets that are held inside the intentionally defective grantor trust are asset protected from the claims of third party creditors.
Nice,
we get a nice bump of asset protection.
Right.
We get the growth that's exempt for federal estate tax purposes, we get the flexibility, we lock in the discounts, all at a time that we're still legitimately able to do that. And I know that with my clients and the firm's clients, that this is a strategy that we have used frequently, and this year intend to use even more. because I think the circumstances are right. Interest rates are still low. A lot of assets are poised to make significant gains. And for sure, it looks like the government's going to lower the exemption amounts and perhaps raise the estate tax rates. So this allows us a great way to do that.
Great tool. And Harry, from start to finish, how long does it take to put this project together for somebody for
each business? I think we could do it within a month. We can have it all done. Sure. There are some things that I think that may take a little bit longer depending upon the time of the year. For example, if we're going to sell those assets, which we're going to sell them to the trust, right? We want to have them professionally valued. So we're going to have to bring in an evaluator to evaluate that which we are going to sell, whether discounted, non-discounted, whether voting, non-voting, whether recapitalized or not. That sale, we want to make sure is grounded in value. We don't want to sell, we can't sell a $10 million asset for $2.5 million. We don't want to sell a $1 million asset for $2.5 million. So we need to have some semblance of what that value is so we have a correct sale. I think that as far as tax returns are concerned, there are no tax returns required because it is a grantor trust. And also, the only tax return would be a gift tax return for the 10%, the seed money that was placed into the trust. It's relatively simple. The care and feeding is relatively simple. And I think the benefits are amazing. So that's about what I have to say on intentionally defective grantor trusts. And I hope, Paul, over the next number of weeks, we'll pick a new concept each week and put it in our wealth protection and asset protection toolbox. I think our next discussion, we'll talk a little bit about the use of a domestic asset protection trust on our next version.
Sounds wonderful. Harry, as always, incredible information. Thank you, everybody, for listening. As Harry said, please stay tuned. You will get notified of our ongoing sessions. And the whole purpose is to bring value to you, educate, and give you actionable tools and strategies you can use right now. Harry, thanks. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
All right.